not out of the kind of gritted teeth, willed blindness that sometimes masquerades under the name of faith, but because even though we can't make sense of it, sometimes, somehow, there is a presence that we feel, that we are aware of. We can't put it in a box. We can't tie it up in a ribbon. We can't fully explain it, but it's there. And whatever else is going on, that presence is still there. And from a Jobian perspective, whether you can make sense of it or not, that presence endures and is the crystal around which, in spite of everything, a sense that things somehow, some way are, if not all good, if not all right, all there, whole, in ways that we can feel, but we can't fully explain. Somehow, at the deepest level, things really are all right. From another perspective, you could say that what Job learns from the whirlwind is that his vision of what God is, and all possible visions of what God is, are other than and less than God himself. As we formulate conceptualizations of what's going on in a religious context, our tendency is to focus on those conceptualizations themselves as what they are conceptualizations of. We can make a God of our idea of God. That, so the book of Job implies, is what Job's friends have done, explaining to him what must have happened and what he must be like for events to have taken place the way they do. The message of Job from another point of view is we have to sit on those conceptualizations lightly, that it is the relationship with God, the presence of God, our apprehension of God, which is primary, and the conceptual box that we put it in that's secondary. First of all, it's about contact and experience. The covenant holds, in short, even when the covenant appears broken, because the covenant is the face of our interaction with God. And when you interact with someone or something, the nature of the interaction depends on who you're interacting with, and we cannot ever fully know the nature of God or anticipate the shape that our interaction is going to take. Never fully. On that note, looking at the covenant, when the switch is on and when the switch at least seems off, looking at the creation, looking at the problem and its varied solutions, we'll conclude our talks on the Hebrew Bible. Next, we'll be moving on to a world which is entirely different in atmosphere and in orientation, and every bit in total as influential in informing Western thought and Western culture. And that is, of course, the world of the ancient Greeks.
After listening to Lecture 3, a student posed this question to Professor Schutt. What is the main contribution that Exodus makes to the wider traditions of Western civilization? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Well, the Exodus does have a special relevance to Judaism and to a Jewish sense of cultural and religious identity. And ensuring that, and ensuring the integrity and the coherence of the Hebrew vision as a whole is the main contribution, I would be inclined to say, that the Exodus makes to the wider tradition as a precondition to everything else in the culture, to the vision of monotheism, to the vision of ethics. That is the moment which suggests to the Israelites of the time and ever since, we are somebody special and we are favored by God, and this is real. This is not only important, it's the most important thing. This is who we are. And therefore, everything else about who we are going to cling to, we are going to celebrate, and that radiates in ever wider spirals throughout society.
This ends Lecture 3.